In Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2.
That's before souls.
Yes. Before Revelation. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24. There we go. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24. Genesis chapter 2, 18 through 24. I'll read the even verses if you'll read out loud on the odd verses with me. Genesis chapter 2. Still see pages turning. If you're looking in Psalms, it's not the right spot. All right, here we go. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24. You'll read the odd verse out loud with me. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had made from man, taken from man, he made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And let's pray. God, we do thank you so much, Lord, for Lord, the institution that you've created of the family. I thank you, Lord, that you've given me a beautiful wife and children, Lord. Just thank you for the family that you've given to me. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to raise, Lord, our kids in church. I thank you for a church to bring them to. I ask you, please be with us tonight. Would you, Lord, just bless us in a special way. Help us to hear what the truth that you want us to hear. And I ask you, continue to guide and direct us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated.
I want to help you tonight. I'm going to use this one, because I feel like I'm too far away from the other one, and I want to talk to you tonight. I'm going to use a little bit of a personal testimony, and then I'm going to launch right into the scriptures, but give me a few minutes, and I think I can help you tonight. 37 years ago, this last October 10th, I had my first date with my wife. Either the 5th of that month or the 6th, I don't remember exactly which day. Yeah, I'm supposed to know those things, but I got that half-wits disease. Three-quarter timers. Yeah, I just remember the date. But just a few days before that, I was getting I was in what we called the gag bag line. It was a sack lunch line for college to get. I was running to get that, and then I was going to leave and go to work, and I had a full-time job in Valparaiso, Indiana, and I worked 40 hours a week, drove an hour to work and an hour home from work. The plus took, I had 21 or 22 hours of college that semester. I was running two Bible clubs. I had a bus route on top of that on the weekends, and I was busy. I haven't slowed down since, but I was in a hurry. I just finished lunch, ran down, got in the gag bag line, was headed for it. And you've got tables lined up in the hallway and people coming down the table. And there's just room for a person to get through if everybody's doing things right. And I got about three-fourths down the way of that thing. And all of a sudden, I didn't see somebody standing in the doorway. And they took a step out. And they were coming out of a mop closet. And she had brooms and mops and buckets. And they went everywhere. Because I knocked her over, and that was not a good thing. I was embarrassed. I helped pick things up and hand it back to her. Fortunately, the buckets were empty. They weren't full. But we kind of joked about it, and I went on. The next day, I walked down the hall. When I got to that spot, I went, guess who was standing there? She was standing there. She said, oh, I was waiting to, so you didn't knock me over. And we joked about it again, began to talk, and come to find out, I asked her where she was from, and my mom and dad were going to her home church at the time. My mom and dad had moved my sophomore year of college, and or junior year of college, I forget which, and this was my junior year. And they had moved from Canton, Ohio to Toledo, and they were going to church right across the Michigan line in church at State Line Baptist School and church there, Luce Avenue Baptist Church. And that was her home church. So there was a little camaraderie there. We talked about it, and I didn't think anything about it. Got my gag bag and went to work that night. And as I walked away, the Holy Spirit said, "Hey, stupid, how come you didn't talk to her about going out for a date?" I said, "Because I didn't think about it." I honestly wasn't looking. I wasn't not looking, but I wasn't in a hurry. I figured the Lord would do whatever he wanted to do when he wanted to do it. I was too busy to think about it. Lo and behold, the next day, guess where she was again? At the same time. I finally mustered up enough courage to talk to her for a little bit, and I asked her on a date. I got all the way out to the parking lot and went, shoot, I forgot to tell her what time and where to meet. I put my stuff down, ran all the way back in. I knew she had cleaned in the admin hallway, so I'm running up and down in hallways I'm not supposed to be in, you know, where the president of the college is and his secretary and the vice president's offices. And all. She cleans their offices. Oh, boy, this is going to go over real well. And I finally tracked her down and began a time. And after our first date, by the way, I couldn't get her blue eyes out of my head for 3 days. She just, it just struck me. After our first date, I went home and I had been taking notes in the Bible and things of what I was looking for in a wife. I had page after page after page after page after page after page after things. I went back to my room and took that notebook and I threw it in the trash and said, "I found her." I told my roommate, matter of fact, the very man that's moving here in 2 weeks was my roommate in college. The very man I said, she's going to be my wife. He said, "You can't know that after one date." I said, "I just threw everything away. I know it." And guess what? You snooze, you lose. I got her. We became friends very quickly, and we became sweethearts. My dad and mom came up and met her. And my dad looked at me before they left, and the last words I heard my dad say was this: "You let that one go, you're stupid." That was the last thing he said to me about it. And I said, "Okay, that tells me what I need to know." That was in October. In January, I told her I loved her. I'd say, "Why? Why waste time?" We got engaged 8.5 months later, and 9 months after that, we got married. Hard to believe, isn't it? I want you to notice something. We were acquaintances, then we were friends. Then we became sweethearts. We were fellow workers. She began working in the same ministry that I was in. Matter of fact, she had just moved to that ministry. She was an incredible, and still is, an incredible soul winner. She's quiet. But if you ever go soul winning with her, you better wear armor. Because she's tougher than any man I've ever been out soul winning with. Let me tell you, I don't know how she gets away with saying some of the things she says. But I remember after just a few months that summer, I stayed at the college. I was working, and that was in a year before there was cell phones, and you didn't make long-distance calls because they were too expensive, and we wrote each other every day and sent letters once or twice a week. And always look forward to opening my mailbox and smelling perfume and saying, "Ah, got a letter." All those kinds of things. Then the day came, she was coming back to college that fall, and I had told her that I wanted to talk to her mom, and I got her mom aside while she was taking some things up to her room, and I asked her mom for permission to marry her. She said, "That's fine, go talk to Dad." So I went out to the car and talked to him for a minute. He said, "Good, you can pay for her last year of school then." And I did. But I asked for a few moments with her, and we went outside the college and over near the lake. And I couldn't wait to get down to the lake. About halfway down, I said, "Stop, that's as far as we're going. I got to talk to you." And I asked her to marry me, gave her a ring, and the rest is history. Now, here's what I want you to understand. I also realized I was taking her away from her family someday. She had a brother and a sister. Sister's 5 years younger and her brother's 10 years younger than she. We were going to get in the ministry. I had no idea where we were going to be or what we were going to do. The responsibility started hitting pretty quick. Number one, paying for the ring. Number two, I had to take care of all the bills. Had to find a place to live and pay the bills and make sure that she got her bills paid for and all that kind of stuff. You have to understand something. That year that we were engaged, less than 3 weeks after we were engaged, her first grandfather passed away. We got married in June, and in November, her second grandfather passed away. All in within a year or so. We were married and put her through her last year of school. As soon as she got done, just a couple months later, we left and went to the mission field of Long Beach, California. You say, that's not the mission field. You've not been in Long Beach. It's the mission field. You have to understand something. We were in California. Her family was in Minnesota. My family was in Ohio. We were thousands of miles from anybody we knew. Then she got pregnant, and we had our oldest. And when Josh was born, he was sickly. He did okay for a little while and then got sick and just couldn't get over it. And at 3.5 months old, he went in the hospital with pneumonia, bronchitis, and RSV, and had asthma on top of that. And that night, he went into respiratory arrest, and they put him on a ventilator for 3 weeks. You have to understand something. We were thousands of miles from anybody that was family. In those days, you couldn't just, my dad and their family couldn't just pick up and go. I had to be things to my wife I never thought I would have to be. Now, God began to teach me a powerful truth about our marriage. I had taken my wife away from all the relationships she knew in life. Think about that. She'd lost her grandfathers. I did not preach the first grandfather's funeral, but I did preach the second one. Drove to Minnesota in November in a snowstorm and in a blizzard. I'm not kidding. Went to college that morning. Worked at the college all morning, and then worked at my job at the machine shop. Got in at 1 o'clock in the morning. We left at 3:30 in the morning. I slept for 2.5 hours, and drove what should be about a 16-18 hour drive, and took 24 hours to get there in a blizzard. Preached a funeral and drove all the way back. Say. Why, preacher? Because I needed to be what my wife needed me to be. I could not replace people in her life, but I could fill roles that were emptied in her life. Now, let me help you for a moment. I realized I was her husband, but there was more to being a husband than just being a husband. I had to be more than just husband. I've had many relationships to fill as her husband in our marriage. This is true in all marriages. We had children. They grew up. The last one left and married the toe-headed idiot. All those kinds of things. Now, wait a minute. I couldn't fill Mindy's role, so I bought Ginger. That took care of that. But we have, as spouses, have many roles to fill in life. And I think a lot of marriages are not as good or as strong as they should be because we don't realize there's more than just one role to fill. I did fill the role of being child for her very, very well, especially these last days. But let me help you tonight. And I promise you, it's not going to be a long sermon, but I believe one that will impact you for the rest of your life. Number one, I want you to notice something. God said that we're supposed to leave and cleave. Look at verse 24 again. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. That means this, when you leave to get married, you have to leave the past behind you and cleave to the future. Anybody hear that? It doesn't say that you ignore your parents or her parents. Hang on, I'll get to that in a minute. But realize it's your job to fulfill what her parents were to her before you were married. I remember asking my dad when I was in college, I said, Dad, how do you know that you're ready to get married? Some of the wisest words I've ever heard came from my dad. He said, son, when you can provide for somebody else what's been given to you your whole life, then you're ready. When you can take care of the bills and meet the needs, then you're ready. He didn't tell me it was going to cost that much. But now, I'm going to make a statement here. And don't get mad at me. If she runs back to mama and daddy all the time, it's because you're not filling the role. If he runs back to mama and daddy all the time, it's because you're not filling the role. Now, it didn't say they don't talk to their parents. But there's times in someone, and by the way, I realize tragic things happen and we need our families. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about, well, I just miss my mama, I'm going to go back. Well, you don't cook like my mama. Well, you didn't want to marry your mama, did you? Amen. She whooped me enough, I didn't want to marry her. Now, wait a minute. I love my mama, but I didn't want to marry my mama. Then quit comparing your wife to your mom. Yeah. Wait a minute here. I'm gonna step in something here on purpose tonight. I believe stepchildren are just as much your children as somebody else. And you ought to take care of them that way. They ought to be as important to you as if they were blood. They ought not be treated any differently. I'm going to make another statement. In-laws ought to be treated the same way. Now, wait a minute. My daughter's sitting here. She'll tell you this. My son-in-law is as much my son as Josh and Jeff. Without a doubt. I love him just as much. Just the same. I love his family. I love Paul and Cindy Provost. Josh's in-laws. Jeff's not married, so I don't have to worry about that yet. But when Josh and Ruth Ann were fostering children, and we thought we were going to have one adopted, and Hunter, he was just as important to me as Hudson is. I loved him just as much. There's no difference. Say, well, you can't do that, preacher. Yes, you can. If you know how to love, you know how to love. It doesn't require blood to love. Everybody doing okay? All right, now hang in there. I'm about to start meddling here. Maybe if you'd start loving your in-laws and loving your step family, you could fill the void that was there instead of causing conflict with the void. Parents need to quit controlling grown children's lives. I said it. Parents need to quit controlling grown children's lives. You're not supposed to live your life through them. Let them live their life. They leave your house, they leave and cleave. You made your own mistakes, fix it. Yeah, buddy, I did. I sold the house. I built a new one. They didn't even know where I lived. Now, wait a minute. I love my daughter and son-in-law. But my daughter will tell you, Dad and Mom don't meddle. They need help. They need advice. They'll ask, but I'm not sticking my nose in it. I don't say, well, what about this and what about this and what about... I don't step into it. I may ask my daughter, am I going to get in trouble with anybody or anything if I do such and such? I may ask Michael that about Mindy because I don't want to tread into an area that somebody else might be covering that I don't know about. But I don't meddle. Everybody doing all right? That girl can tell you. I'm sorry, that young lady. She's not a girl anymore. Can I tell you something? She'll tell you. I stay out of it. I don't tell her how to be married. I don't tell her how to raise her child. Don't do it. Now, if she asks my advice, I'm going to tell her what to think. But if she doesn't do it, then it means she's excommunicated from the family. Can I tell you why? Because she's not living my life. She's not living in the generation I grew up in. Things are different than they were when I was her age. Yeah. Yeah, there's actually communication. Now, wait a minute. I believe with all my heart that we ought to leave and cleave. Let your children leave your house and cleave to their spouse. Give them space. I was glad that God brought Josh here for 4 years, but thank God God brought Brother Anthony Miskatora our way. I didn't bring him here because of what his last name was. There was a need. He fulfilled the need. God needed him elsewhere, and God needed to train him for what he needs now. It's all good. Everybody understand that? I'm not trying to bring my family to be around me to build an empire. The church is not supposed to be the pastor's empire. Everybody doing okay? All right. Now, hang on here. This one's really going to... I hope somebody listens to this online and sends me an email because I want to answer this one. We're not supposed to pick our children's spouse. Yeah, knucklehead's a knucklehead. That's right. Now, wait a minute. I do believe parents ought to guide a little bit. Amen. I think there should be some input from parents, but it doesn't mean just because you don't like the person that you tell them go live with the booger man then. I'm not going to go into it, but I thank God for my daughter-in-law and my son-in-law. Neither were their first choice. Very rarely is your first choice the right one. Many of us missed a big bullet by that, amen? That's all I'm going to say. Some missed a bomb, but you have to understand something. Just because it may not be who you would have picked doesn't mean it's not right. You're not the determining factor of your child's, adult children's will of God. You ought to leave in love. God says leave and cleave. You know what the word cleave means? Doesn't mean hack in pieces. Okay, that's cleaver. The word cleave, how many of you know what plywood is? Okay, plywood is many thin layers of wood glued together, but what you may not realize is this, they're glued in opposite directions all the way up so that the grains go different directions through each layer, which makes plywood much stronger. So you might have 8 or 10 layers of wood that's real thin, but it's glued together and the grains are going opposite in each layer, and that's what gives it its strength. Each one of those layers is cleaved together. You can't rip those layers apart and get each one of those layers of wood apart without destroying the whole thing. And that is exactly where you get the Hebrew word cleave. It means put so tightly together that it can't be pulled apart without damage to both. By the way, I want you to notice something. The grains run opposite direction. Men and women aren't the same. Fellas, quit expecting your wife to think like a man. That's sodomy. It is. Ladies, a man's not going to think like a lady. Thank God. We know how to go in, get what we want in the store, and walk out and not make 14 loops. Now, wait a second. My idea of shopping, your idea of shopping may not be the same. But guess what? We get her done. God said that's what strengthens the relationship. It's not everything running the same direction. It is the opposing direction that brings the strength. Now, so God says leave and cleave. Number two, as you leave, realize there are voids to fill by each other. When I left my mom and dad and she left her mom and dad, there were some voids that needed filled. This doesn't mean that you never see your family again. I believe people ought to see and talk to their family on a regular basis. I talk to my dad virtually every day. My wife calls her family on a regular basis. When my grandmother was still alive, I called her every week. My daughter, she calls us virtually daily and FaceTimes us so that we get to see Hudson grow up and he knows us. She got in at 3:45 in the morning, Saturday morning. And we were home waiting for Hudson to get up so that we could care for him a little bit so she could get some rest. And he came out and he saw me and went, "Paw, Paw." And he came over to me and sat down. And he was just as comfortable as if he was at home. Can I tell you something? That thrills my heart. My heart was full of joy. Can I tell you why? Because we got to know each other because there's a relationship between Mindy and Michael and mom and dad or Papa and Meemaw. And he understands that and he knew where he was at. Then the next words were, "Ginger." Now, thank God for that. That comes because we've worked on the relationship to fill the void. Don't ignore the need. Fellas, we have a way of ignoring it because we don't need it. Just because you don't need it doesn't mean your wife doesn't need it. I know, that one's stone. This means become more of what those relationships you pulled her from to be. Do you know there's times I have to be a little bit of her grandfather? I have to fill that role a little bit. There's times I have to fill the role of dad because we live so far away. There's times I have to fill the role of child. I do that one quite well, sometimes too well. She sometimes needs a sister or a brother. Now, I can't be her sister or her brother, nor do I want to be. But there's times we need to have that type of relationship where I'm able to fill that void or get her to fill it by getting them to them. My sister-in-law's here in our church. She's been through a lot of tragedy. She's lived, you talk to my sister-in-law, she's lived a pretty tough life. She hated me for about 30 years. But when the chips are down, guess who she calls? And when she moved here, she said, "Well, I guess I finally grew up. I love you." I said, "Yep." Now, by the way, I respect her. She's been through a lot. And she knew who she could count on. By the way, she's done well. Now, is she everything that I want her to be? I don't know. I haven't wanted for her. But I'll be there for her. I sat on her couch with her dying husband who was dying of pancreatic cancer. And he looked at me and he said, "Craig," he said, I want you to help Crystal in this area, and I want you to do this for me. And he said, this is my, I know I'm dying. I know I'm going to heaven. Would you help me? I said, I will. She and my wife got to the house and sat down, and Paul looked at her, put his finger in her face. He said, you better listen to that man, or I'm going to come back and slap you upside the head. You better listen to him like you listen to me. Do you understand? And that man. By the way, she did. Shocked me. Shocked the whole family when she said she was settling out of Texas and moving here. Matter of fact, she had already sold out before she told me she was coming. I thought, we have an uncle that said, Craig, I feel sorry for you. He did. After 2 weeks, he texted me. He said, how's it going? Have you kicked her out yet? I said, no. He said, you're the only man in the world who could handle that woman other than Paul. He said, don't send her up here. I'll kill her. You got to know that family member. He would. But guess what? I can't be her husband, but I can fill the role when she needs it. I can feel that need of security. You'll never replace anyone, but you can fill the role. Did you hear what I said? I can't replace my mom, but my wife sometimes steps in and fills that role. Yeah, that's why she threw me out of the tree. You know, sometimes it means getting your spouse to a person, or at least on phone. I was going to be preaching in Maine. Mindy had an obligation, and they had nobody to watch Hudson. My wife, I said, here's a plane ticket, go. She said, are you sure? I said, I'm going to be in Maine. You're not going with me. Mindy needs you. Go fill the role. Can I tell you something? That's the way life's supposed to be. This doesn't mean pushing your family on your spouse either. Be careful. I'll promise you, you talk to my daughter-in-law, you talk to my son-in-law, I don't dominate their life. I don't ever dominate their life. But I love it when Michael calls me and says, Dad, got a minute? Yep. Got a deer. How do I gut it? No. And he asks many, 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 many other questions. I love it when I get the dad call. It thrills my heart. There's other times he wants to know something about Mindy and how I would handle a certain situation to help through. I always tell him a bigger stick. Now, I say that to say this. Sometimes you have to fill those roles. Don't feel bad about it. Feel honored. Number three, and I'll finish quickly here. What are some of the relationships, some of the roles that we need to fill in marriage? Number one, lovers. I've been in love with my wife for 37 years plus. No doubt. None whatsoever. You watch my wife and I, we're deeply in love. And I thank God for that. But there's more to marriage than the hugging, the kissing, and the holding of hands. That's just a very small part of it. But it's a part. Keep things close. Keep things tender. Number two. What's the second role we have to fill? Parents. You know, there's times I have to be mom or dad to her. And she has to be mom or dad to me somewhat. What is that? Security. There's a security there. As you grow up and you begin to lose your parents to death or whatever the situation, can I tell you something? There's a little security loss there. I love it. My dad, of course, mom's been in heaven for almost 4 years when dad was in the hospital with his gallbladder. If it would have been appropriate, I'd have taken the picture, but in a split-tail gown, it wasn't appropriate. But he was sitting on the edge of the bed with my wife sitting with him. She had her arm around his shoulder, and they were just sitting there talking. And I didn't take the picture because it was not appropriate. But I thought, yeah, she stepped up to do what my mom would do if my mama were still here. She just kind of slid into place and did it. Sometimes that needs their grandparent. That's that spoiling. Grandparents were made to spoil. Amen. I enjoy being a grandpa. I decided a long time ago I was going to enjoy being a grandpa. And I do. Jackie was in my office and Hudson showed up tonight. And I said, come here, boy, come look at the deer. I stood him up on my scooter. And he was holding on to the handlebars and we rolled into my office. Pawpaw. He's touching deer. Well, he went back to his mama, but he wanted to go back and see them deer again. He wanted to touch them. Now, wait a minute. I love it. I love being... We were out shopping for Hudson before he came. Say, why? Because it makes us happy. You love to do things and give to them and do certain things. You know, that's the way it ought to be with a marriage, too. You ought to enjoy spoiling somebody else, not yourself. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Next, involves being a sibling, a brother or sister. That's not the fighting part either. That is, brothers and sisters pick at each other a little bit for fun. You watch my wife and I, my kids know what I'm talking about here. There's times my wife and I are more like brother and sister than husband and wife because we just pick at each other. It's great. And believe me, when she's had enough, you'll know. And then I'm going to hit this last one and be done. Lastly, we need to fill the role of friend. May I have your attention for a few moments? Facebook and social media is very big in closeness in marriage. Is a thing of the past. Some of you put on a persona on a social media page and expect everybody in reality to treat you the way you want to perceive yourself. You live in a virtual mindset, and when you don't get that from somebody, you're upset. Can I tell you something? Facebook and social media is destroying relationships. You may not agree with me, I don't care, but I counsel it, I know. You can't have a Facebook relationship in marriage. Your house is not to be a hotel where you check in, check out of. There's to be communication. Communication isn't just, there can be communication while you're working. But communication is actually sitting down and talking, not doing 14 other things while you do it. You know, the day I was trying to help clean the house a little bit. You know, it's kind of hard to push a vacuum cleaner in this thing. It gets all twisted up and I end up just about on the floor with it, amen? But there's a few things I can do. I try to help in the kitchen where I can. And this thing's gotten in the way a lot, but when I'm not on this, I'm doing a lot of those things for her and with her. There's times I'm there and she's not there. And if the dishwasher needs unloaded, unload it. If the bathrooms need cleaned or something, I'll go do it. Or the vacuum needs run, I'll do it. Yeah, it fits my hand just as well as it does hers. And it won't hurt you, I promise. See, there's things we ought to do just to help fill the role so they don't have as much to do. You see, some only want the appearance of a relationship. They don't want the work of a relationship. I love my daughter, Melinda. But can I tell you something? It takes work for that relationship to stay as close as it is. It doesn't happen because I say I love her. It happens because we work at it and we talk. Happens because we work through problems together. Happens because we spend time. I haven't seen her physically but 3 or 4 times this year. But we live in an age of FaceTime that's amazing. Can I tell you something? Maybe we ought to learn to be friends with one another. No wonder so many people let go of their spouse to go find a Facebook friend. God compares the church to a family relationship. This is exactly what God expects of our church. He said, as Christ is head of the church, so is the man head of the house. I get that. Husbands, love your wives. As Christ loved the church. Not the way you want to love, as Christ loved. Jesus is all these things. As your pastor, there's times I need to fill some of those roles for you. There is. You face hard times, you lose people, and preacher's got to step in and be like a husband or a dad to you. Some of you widows, I've helped you as though I were your husband to a certain degree and tried to set you up so that your security was there. I've tried to help your families and be a brother to those and on and on and on and on and on. That's what I do. You want to know why our church has the relationship it has? Because of that. You can have that in your home. You want to break down the fussing and the feuding and the fighting and the arguing and all the tension and all the things you want? Yeah. Learn to start filling the roles. And as you fill the roles, realize maybe they need something that you're not giving them right now. Quit being frustrated and look at what you didn't give them instead of what you're not getting. Maybe you'll find the answer wrapped up in that. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. God says leave and cleave. Then he says that there are certain roles that are going to need filled because there's voids. Let me ask you a question. Would you step up and fill those roles?